Hello and welcome to the Autism Mums podcast.
I'm Victoria.
And I'm Natalie.
We're two sisters raising autistic children who know the joy, the challenges and the everyday moments.
This is a supportive space for honest conversations, practical tips, shared strength and expert advice.
Whether you're celebrating a win, surviving a meltdown or just trying to make it through the day, we're right here with you.
Join us as we share the ups, the downs, and everything in between parenting autistic children.
In this episode, we're going back to basics. We're going to talk about what is autism.
If you're a parent listening, especially early on in your journey, you might have been given a diagnosis or a leaflet or maybe a short appointment and then sent home thinking, but what does this mean?
Autism or autism spectrum condition is a neurodevelopmental difference. This means it's about how the brain develops and processes information. It's present from early development, even if it isn't recognized straight away.
Yeah, it's not caused by parenting. It's not caused by trauma. It's not caused by vaccines. And it's not something a child catches. It's a naturally occurring variation in human neurology.
Yeah, and it's lifelong. Autistic children grow into autistic adults. It's not something that needs to be cured. It's just something that needs to be understood.
Yeah, and I think the word spectrum confuses a lot of people. Some assume it means a straight line from mild to severe, but that is not accurate.
No, it's a spectrum in the way that colours a spectrum. It's not a sliding scale. It's a profile. So different people have different combination of strengths, challenges, sensitivities and support needs.
Yeah, so one child might struggle with speech but have incredible pattern recognition. Another might be highly verbal but struggle deeply with anxiety and sensory overwhelm.
Yeah, both are autistic. Neither is more or less autistic. So three of our children have autism diagnosis and they all look really different.
Yeah, definitely. Before I knew more about what autism was, I had a very narrow view. So we knew someone who is nonverbal and has high support needs. And that to me was autism. That's what I understood it to be. So when that term was first used to describe my child, I found that quite surprising.
Yes, so did I.
Because that's not how he presents.
Yes, absolutely. And that's why I think it's worth having these conversations.
Definitely.
Autism is generally understood through two core areas, differences in social communication and interaction, and differences in restrictive, repetitive, intense patterns of behaviour, interests, or sensory processing.
So social communication differences don't mean autistic people don't want connection. They mean they may communicate and connect differently. So this can include difficulty reading facial expressions or tone, taking language literally. We definitely have that. I will say to you, see my child jump in the car or hop in the car. I didn't realise I said so many ridiculous things, but there's quite a lot of sayings in our language that really, when taken literally, are just ridiculous, aren't they?
Yes, 100%. I didn't realise I used so many of them either. I remember the first time I realised one of my children didn't understand what I was saying when I said, I'm just dishing up. And they said, I don't even know what you mean. And it was the first time that I realised a lot of what I said was clearly very confusing.
And it's only sort of now I get asked questions about what I'm trying to actually say. And I think, oh my goodness, when they were younger, it must have been so confusing because they weren't able at that point to ask me. I'm just spouting out all these strange things that they didn't have a clue, poor things.
Yeah,
a bit more mindful about what words I use or I try to, but a lot of it's real habit, isn't it? You have to sort of train yourself to speak differently.
Yeah, you definitely do. How about struggling with small talk? Because that's another one. I know one of my children particularly struggles with that, or knowing what to say when people say, how did you enjoy that?
I think it's seen as kind of pointless. It's a strange one, isn't it? Again, it's a bit more of our culture, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Whereas some autistic people prefer direct communication and they can find group dynamics confusing. I know one of my children, as they've got older, actually prefers a lot more one-on-one time. They have friends, but they'd rather see them one at a time.
Yeah. I think for some, it can take quite a lot of energy. If there's more than one person to concentrate on, it can be quite tiring.
Yeah.
And also there's the needing time to process conversations as well. I know that's something my child definitely struggles with.
One of mine is absolutely like this. If you would meet them, they've often been referred to as confident, but it's also extremely draining. And after a day at school or a social event, they'll need to go and be by themselves and lie down for a couple of hours.
The thing is, it's difference, it's not deficit.
Absolutely.
And the second area includes things like repetitive movements, such as swimming. I know we have that with my child. There's lots of different stimming going on with them, like throat clearing or making specific sounds repeatedly. Yours?
One of my children likes to collapse and uncollapse a footstool on repeat very loudly. And also vocal stimming.
And then there's strong special interests as well.
Mm-hmm.
My child does have strong special interests.
I remember when one of them was snails.
Oh, gosh. That was not my favourite one.
One of my children was very interested in Star Wars for a good period and would take the encyclopedia everywhere that we went and would invite everyone we met to go through the encyclopedia and all the statistics about the figures. Do you remember?
Oh, I actually loved that, though, because it was used in a way to communicate with other people. It's just a way of accessing being sociable, isn't it?
Yeah. Both of mine have a real need for predictability.
Oh, gosh, yes, definitely. We like our routines.
And that looks like knowing what's happening. If we're going somewhere, how long are we going to be there for? Who's going to be there? When are we coming home? And they can get really distressed at unexpected changes.
Yeah. I actually was really brave this weekend and changed the furniture around in my lounge only slightly, but I was aware that it would cause some distress. So I did warn my child before they came into the room. And actually, they dealt with it really well, but they did voice it. They did say, "This is something that I find really hard." And that's the first time they've been able to sort of communicate that before it would have just come out in behaviours.
You're taking me back to our childhood. Do you remember if Mum moved the furniture around?
Mad.
Yeah, I'd absolutely go mad when he came in, wouldn't he? He'd be so upset.
He couldn't bear to be in the room. Bless him. Now I feel really bad for him because we understand it a bit more.
No.
But yes, my child's very similar to their grandfather.
Talking of which, deep focus on particular topics is also one of these patterns. And I think we've certainly seen it with our dad, haven't we, over the years? He was certainly one of the youngest referees locally, about 15. He learned the rule book. And I remember him saying that he went up to this panel and he had to be tested on all the questions and he knew them. And he's always had massive deep focus on particular interests, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he chooses a subject and then that's his world for a few months or maybe a year or two, and he moves on. But I think that's amazing. I love that about him because he knows so much about so many different things, whereas I don't.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I wish I had that.
So let's talk about the autistic brain. Research shows that the autistic brain processes information differently.
Yeah, so these differences can be in sensory processing, in filtering information, in pattern recognition, and in social cognition.
Yeah, many autistic people describe experiencing the world as more intense, more detailed, less filtered, more overwhelming, and sometimes understimulating. It's not about having broken wiring, it's about having different wiring.
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard that phrase of it's like a Mac computer versus a PC computer. It's just like a different operating system. I always found that one quite a helpful.
I like that. I'd not heard it, but I like that. How about sensory differences?
Clothing, different textures of like food can be really difficult. Bedding is one thing that we struggle with.
Light, sound, busy, all those things. We've covered a bit about what autism is. What about what it's not?
Yeah. So it's not a behavioural disorder or a mental illness or a phase. Or a result of poor boundaries.
Something caused by screens. Complete tragedy.
No, definitely not. And it can co-occur with anxiety, ADHD, learning disabilities, or mental health challenges. But autism itself is not a mental illness.
No, it's a neurotype. It can be really annoying when you hear the phrase, we're all a little bit autistic, when you're a parent of an autistic child who's really struggling. It's important to know that whilst everybody might experience occasional difficulties, maybe with social awkwardness or
anxiety,
being autistic means actually having a distinct lifelong neurological framework.
Yeah, and that's very different.
It's very different. In the same way that when you hear the phrase, oh, we're all on spectrum, and it can come from a well-meaning place to try to make somebody who's neurodivergent feel less isolated, but it's so misleading.
Yeah, definitely.
It runs the risk, really, of minimizing the real disabling challenges that many autistic people face.
Yeah, definitely. And there's another phrase that I think almost every parent of an autistic child has heard at some point, which is, they don't look autistic.
Oh, 100%, 100%. And it's usually said kindly, like reassuringly.
Yeah, but they don't realise how that lands, do they?
No, and because what does autistic look like?
Yeah, exactly. People carry an outdated image in their heads, often of a child who doesn't speak, who avoids eye contact, or is rocking in the corner. But autism doesn't have one face, it doesn't have one presentation, and it certainly doesn't have one look.
Yeah, and I think also sometimes what people are seeing when they say this is they're seeing masking.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. They're seeing a version of a child who's working really incredibly hard to appear okay.
Yeah, the rehearsed social scripts, forced eye contact, copying of peers, silence instead of saying, I'm totally overwhelmed. What they're not seeing here is the cost.
No, they're not seeing the mental exhaustion that it takes and the sensory overload that they're suppressing, the meltdown that might happen at home later, the anxiety that builds quietly inside.
Yeah, autism isn't what you observe in a 5-minute interaction. It's defined by how someone experiences the world.
Yeah, and I think that phrase reveals something about how we understand disability.
Yeah, it does. We're very comfortable validating visible disabilities.
Yeah, definitely. Like if a child has a broken leg, no one questions the crutches.
No.
But when it's neurological, when it's sensory, cognitive, social, people look for proof.
Yeah, and unfortunately, if they can't see it, they doubt it. They don't look autistic, can quickly turn into, oh, they seem fine, they're coping. Maybe it's just behaviour. Maybe they just need firmer boundaries. And that's really where the harm starts, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So when it comes to diagnosis, some children are diagnosed early. And for some people, it's much later, sometimes even into adulthood.
Yeah. And because autism doesn't always look like those stereotypes, not all autistic children avoid eye contact or line up toys or dislike affection or are nonverbal. Some are chatty. Some are academically high achieving, and some mask their differences to fit in.
Yeah, that's right. Do you remember what it was like when you first heard the word autism applied to your child? It can be quite emotional.
Yeah, I think at first I was quite shocked because, like I said earlier, I had this quite fixed idea of what it was, and they didn't fit into that. But actually, when I started learning more about it, I realised, oh yes. And I think I was just worried for them because I knew that their life was going to be a bit more challenging than I thought. And that was my first thought, really.
When it was first mentioned to me, I remember talking to the GP about it and feeling quite emotional because, like you, I had this fixed idea and I had some confusion over really what this meant. And then as I learned more about it, I realised, well, this is what this is. And all these things that I'd noticed as challenges and struggles that my child had, I was like, ah, It all sits under this umbrella term. All these services that we've been seeking for delayed speech and coordination and eating difficulties and things like that, it's all part of the same thing. And once I realized this, I certainly felt relief. And I think it's just a very emotional, it's so many emotions, isn't it? As you've talked about, there's fear. There can be grief for what you thought your child's path might look like. And also, once the time we got to the actual getting the diagnosis, again, it was relief and it was also validation, like, okay.
Yeah, because I think once you have that knowledge as well, it does give you the power and the motivation to then get your child what they need, get the support that they need.
Yeah.
Which is really helpful, because when you're in that state of not really knowing what it is, it could be this, it could be that, and you're just kind of being bounced around, aren't you? And they're suffering and struggling and you don't really know what you're doing. But to have that diagnosis, that does make all the difference.
It really does. And you quickly move from panic to advocacy, from why, what is this, to right, what can I do? How can I support my child?
It can be quite empowering as a parent, can't it?
Yeah, autism does bring strengths. So an autistic person can have deep focus, creative thinking, honesty, passion, loyalty, attention to detail, and you may find a strong sense of justice. That's certainly apparent in our home.
Definitely. And many autistic people are innovators and artists and scientists, writers, engineers and thinkers. Autism is part of human diversity and it always has been.
Yeah. It isn't defined by intelligence. Support needs can vary widely. Some autistic people do need 24-hour care. Some live independently. Many fall somewhere in between.
And support needs can change across different life stages. A child who copes well in primary school might struggle in secondary. An adult who masks at work might collapse at home, but support isn't static. So support might include sensory accommodations, predictability, clear communication, emotional validation, reduced social pressure, and advocacy in school.
Many autistic adults describe autism as not something they have, like, I have autism, but as something they are. I am autistic. There's ongoing discussion around identity first language versus person first language.
Yeah, and I think what matters most is listening to autistic voices and respecting individual preference. Autistic adults are the experts in autistic lived experience.
If you're listening and your child has just been diagnosed, your child is still your child. This isn't something to fear, it's just something to learn about. Thank you so much for listening to the Autism Mums podcast. Take care of yourself and each other.
Thanks for joining us today on the Autism Mums podcast. We hope you have found a little support, a little solidarity, and a reminder that you are not in this alone.
If you enjoyed the episode, we'd love it if you'd follow the show and share it with another parent or carer who might need to hear it.
And if you've got a story or a moment you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you at www.theautismmums.com.
Until next time, take care.